Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and joining me in studio right now is Leah Polzin. She's the Executive Director of Main Street Calumet, and Rob Tarvis, who's the Calumet Village Administrator. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
Leah is a return guest for me on this program, but Rob, it's the first time I've had you in here, so, you know, again, welcome. And how long have you been at the Administrator in Calumet Village?
Just about a year and a half now.
And how's it going so far in your first 18 months or so?
It's tough at times, but it's going there. We're making some progress, you know, which is good to see. Some of the software I inherited, a DOS-based accounting software and handwritten spreadsheets, you know, so it was old school, but we're making some progress, and I've finally got payroll going on the computer for the first time. It was kind of funny. I was digging through some old minutes, and they were talking about computerizing the payroll in Calumet in 1981, so it only took us 35 years to get there. Slow but sure pace. So
congratulations, you made it.
Yep.
An exciting but maybe not always an envious job. I mean, for a village that's been around, we know, going on 150 years here, right?
Correct, yep.
And to, you know, come in and try to bring it into the 21st century, which is part of your task right now, and moving forward, yeah. Honoring and remembering our past as well as we can. I'm a Calumet Township resident, so I spend a lot of time in Calumet, so I take this a little personal,
yeah.
In a good way. And but then also looking forward to what Calumet can be.
There's a huge opportunity there. You know, I wouldn't have taken a job if I didn't see the potential. You know, I live in the village. I live two blocks from the village hall, right there. I mean, you look at the old buildings, like these brick and sandstone facades, you know, they don't build downtowns like this anymore. So, I mean, for us to try and find a way to save some of these and preserve some of this history, you know, is one of the main factors. And, you know, we have been lucky enough, we were able to get building restoration specialists out of Denver have taken two of our main buildings on Fifth Street, two of our problem buildings, that were in very rough shape. I mean, one of them has the roof was collapsed in the middle all the way down to the basement, and the three-story one had the green moss carpeting, and they've been making amazing progress, and I'm hoping within the next month or so they're gonna start to put a roof on the three-story building. The Quello block is what the three stories one is called, and most people might know it from the one that had the Saab Sonnet inside of it for many years, and you go by and you'd see that car in the front window. And the Kirby building is the other building, the two-story building.
Right.
Yeah, very ambitious of them to take, you know, that building in particular to, and then dream of what it can be without tearing the whole thing down and building something new, still preserving the foundation and structure of the building itself, but then bringing it to something that can be used by the village residents.
Absolutely. I mean, this is going to be an amazing project. They're going to be putting lots of money into it. And they've actually just bought another building over on 6th Street, an apartment building, just to house their workers in. So I'm hoping they'll be around for a while. And I've looked at their website. They've been doing this in the Denver area for the last 30 years. They do amazing work. And it's just nice to have them in our community, you know, trying to preserve some of these historic buildings.
All right, we're going to come back to you here a bit, Rob, talk sure. about your master plan and survey that you have out right now. And first, let's talk with Leah, because as June is now here, we all start thinking of Passy Fest and all of the things that go on with Main Street Calumet. So why don't you talk about your summer?
Wow. So the summer event season is really kicking off. And starting Saturday, June 18th, we're revitalizing our farmers market this year, and so we'll be meeting, we'll be hosting that event Saturdays, starting the 18th, probably running through mid-October, depending on what the weather gives us this summer. We're going to be in Theater Park, just south of the Calumet Theater, between the theater and Shooty's, and we have some good vendors committed. Keweenaw Coffee Works is going to be there, North Harvest CSA with fresh veggies and fruit. We have a maple syrup producer, Circleback Farms, organic maple syrup out of the Lake Linden area, and we have some more folks too. So that's really going to kind of kick things off for us, and I hope that really can build and just provide that Saturday morning destination. Come downtown, get your cup of coffee, get your veggies.
And this is a change because it used to be in the Miners and Merchants Building. Is it the same thing?
I think it's going to be quite a bit different. Actually, we're really focusing on, we want food, you know, grown food, but also we are going to have some people producing, you know, desserts, muffins, that kind of stuff, cupcakes. So there'll be baked goods, and we probably will have a few craft type vendors, handmade things. But it's really, our focus is really on we want it to be a food type market. And maybe it will expand more, and we will have more craft vendors, which I believe they had a lot more of. I didn't experience that previous market myself. So,
well, it's nice that, you know, you have the opportunity to have it outdoors where it's visible. People, yes, that are just driving by will,
right,
be able to see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just will do more to create traffic on the,
sure,
streets.
Yep, exactly. That's what we're hoping. And there are so many people in the area who make great food and grow great vegetables and have so many talents and skills. And it's just nice to try and get them in one place and get to, you know, see what they have to offer. So that's going to be starting here in a few weeks already. And if anybody is interested in being a vendor, you can get in touch at MainStreetCalumet.com, the Farmers Market tab, all the applications and everything's all out there for you. And then Pasty Fest is going to be Saturday the 25th of June, and we are moving it to 5th Street. Actually, we're going to change it this year into a street fair type event rather than in the park. It used to be out in Agassiz, and our business owners in the downtown really want to bring that festival into the downtown area and try and really, you know, focus on our downtown. So we're going to do that. We're going to have a street fair right in the downtown. And we've added a couple different things to the fest this year. The Heritage Center at St. Anne's is actually having a benefit car show this year. So it'll be kind of the first annual cool cars, classic car show. And that will benefit the Heritage Center, but we'll be sharing an event, so to speak. And then we've also added typically we have a bake-off, which, you know, you can have a commercial or home-baked entry. This year we added, Pat's IGA is sponsoring this event, so it's Pat's IGA's Pasty Perfection Charity Bake-Off. But five nonprofits are going to bake 75 mini pasties, and we're going to sell those in groups of five for $10 a piece. $10 buys you a vote. You get to vote on which pasty is the best. And at the end of the day, each of those votes will tally up for each group, and they get to keep $10 per vote. So it's a it's a fundraiser for good local nonprofit groups. And it gives you the opportunity to taste some other people's recipes. So just a little something different there.
Well, yeah. Definitely. It's been about 13. Just the 13th year
that
Pasty Fest has been going on.
Yep.
And as awesome as that event is every year, and so many people look forward to it, it's kind of nice that, you know, it's getting a little bit of a facelift,
yep,
you know, a little bit of a makeover.
Switch.
So, and we know from the success of Copper Dog, you can really turn downtown Calumet into a festive scene. I mean,
absolutely.
Just alive with activity.
Yep, you sure can. And I think they do. Copper Dog does a great, great job with that event. And it really does show you, hey, you can have a street fair in Calumet and it can be successful. You can have a lot of people come downtown and enjoy themselves, and, you know.
Yeah,
I hope that we can do the same thing with Pasty Fest.
You know, and unlike other of our cities and villages that are in area, you don't have to shut down a main thoroughfare, you know, highway or something in order to have a street fair.
Right.
You can have it in downtown Calumet. And, you know, it's one of the,
right,
benefits. I mean, everyone says, oh, Calumet's off the beaten path by two blocks. But here's an advantage where you,
right,
can use that to your, you know, to your benefit.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Now,
that's true.
Will the traditional Pasty Fest judging take place like what you've had before?
Yes, there will be judging.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that he'll be able to make it, but Scott Dianda did give me the verbal that he'll be able to be a judge this year. So if you want to talk to the state rep and eat some pasties, come on down on the 25th.
I was a judge last year.
Oh, Rick. I see an opportunity right here.
What else you have?
Oh, and in terms of other events this year, we are going to have first annual Calumet Music Festival is going to be in Agassiz Park Saturday, August 6th. So be looking for that online. We'll have more coming to you on that. And then it is Calumet Township Sesquicentennial, which is the 150th anniversary. So we're calling that event the Big 150. And that's Main Street, but also the township and people from a variety of other organizations and businesses and groups we've all been working as a committee to put that event together. So that's going to be Friday and Saturday, August 19th and 20th. And that also coincides with the Great Deer Chase. Mountain bike race will be the Saturday, August 20th. And I think that's just about it for events. There are some other events happening in Calumet as well, but those are the ones that Main Street's involved with at the moment.
Yeah, I guess I should correct myself then. So it's the 150th anniversary of the township.
Township, not Calumet Village. Okay. Calumet Township, yes.
Okay. But, you know, we know Calumet Village has been there longer than 5 or 6 years, so.
Yeah.
Not far behind, right. I think. Right. Yeah. 141 or 142 yeah. now.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. We'll take this opportunity to kind of flip back to you. You know, as the village administrator, you know, day in and day out, you are trying to, you know, maneuver all of the pieces like playing chess with, you know, with, whether it's budget items or with personnel, trying to make Calumet happen every day. Mm-hmm. Talk about that struggle.
Well, as everyone knows, the village of Calumet's only about 25 blocks, so our main issue is usually financial, money-wise. You know, I think last year we billed out about $198,000 in property taxes, which isn't a whole lot when you have, you know, crumbling streets and sidewalks, and some of our street department equipment is getting up there in age. We have been able to replace some of it. They had a fundraiser 2 springs ago, and we raised enough money that we bought a couple used dump trucks from Marquette County Road Commission, which this past winter, that was the only 2 pieces of equipment that didn't break down, so that was kind of nice. And we just purchased a snowgo from the city of Houghton. They had a snowgo they weren't using very much, which will be an upgrade from our 1946, which was our backup. So we're moving a little bit farther in the right direction. We still have a long ways to go, but, you know, slowly but surely keep plugging away one step at a time. And one thing from this past council meeting that people will be happy to hear is we're going to move forward with getting the potholes on 4th Street fixed, because I hear it, and we've been trying to get something to happen with this. And I figured while they're up there paving Red Jacket Road, this is all the equipment's there. And we've got it set up where our guys are going to do the prep work, and we're going to have the holes hot patched then by the guys doing Red Jacket Road. And talking with the road engineers, this would be about a 5-year Band-Aid for us. So I'm hoping to get them hot patched, and maybe within the next 5 years to save up some money and apply for a grant and get 4th Street done right.
I've had people ask me what's going on with Red Jacket Road, and we ran a story about a year ago when it was announced the work that was going to be done and the upgrades for that to make it an all-season road. And why don't you go ahead and tell us, what does that mean as far as that thoroughfare?
Well, for us, it's outside of the village. They do from US 41 to Scott Street is what they're doing. And basically, I believe they're going to do this, the street and the sidewalks and everything. And there
and
was some
the infrastructure underneath.
Correct. Yep. And so all that will be nice and new. It'll be walkable because you have how many park buildings. You got the Coliseum. Plus, you have Coppertown and all those right there. So that'd be a nice, yeah, with the school there and, you know, the archives for the park building, the main park headquarters. And it'll be nice, walkable, nice new road for everybody to, you know, come into the village.
Yeah, definitely would be, you know, appear to have more access and more inviting, I guess, too. If you know, it almost looks like Red Jacket Road's a side street right now.
Yeah.
You know, unless you go down that way, if you're not from the area, unless you decide to turn at that flashing yellow light and follow the signs and then go around to the one-way street part, and then you find yourself in Fifth Street.
Yeah.
You know, so it'd be nice, yeah, to improve that stretch, because you know, if you're going to go to Fifth Street, that's the way you're going to go.
Yeah, and I can't remember the exact numbers they were putting into it, but I think it's $750,000 or something like that.
Excellent.
So it should be, it'll be inconvenient while it's going on right now, but eventually it's going to be nice, you know. It's going to take them pretty much the whole summer to take care of everything, so.
In any given year, what's your biggest budget item?
Snow removal, without a doubt, you know. And that was the thing, Whoopeter, when we had our Pizza and Politics, I had brought it up. Whoopeter did this study, and if you look at, they looked at snow removal costs for all the municipalities in the 6-county area, and most of our money that's supposed to be for snow removal and for fixing the roads is from the Michigan Transportation Fund. And over the 5-year period they studied, which was 2010 to 2014, we used 140% of that money on snow removal alone. It's not only all the money they gave us to fix streets and snow removal, but 40% usually from the general fund just to cover snow removal costs. And this is something we seriously have to look at and just evaluate the way we do things. And, you know, it might be a little bit painful, but we have to really find a way to replace some of this aging street department equipment. You know, we've been slowly working on it, but there's a couple more pieces that we really need to get. And to me, when it's your biggest expense, you got to look at it and see what can you do different, you know?
Yeah, so as revenues go down and the expense of moving the of snow and the cost of the equipment go up, the amount of snow we get does not change.
Absolutely. You know, and that's one of the hardest parts. You know, the state revenue sharing has gone down steadily, you know, and our expenses are going up faster than our revenues. And that gap is getting harder and harder to fill each and every year. You know, at some point you got to look at redoing things and trying to find a way to, like I said, find this money to fix some of the streets. You know, it's a constant juggle and shuffling stuff around to make things work, you know.
To help light your way and to give you some direction, yeah, the village is working on a master plan, what's called a five-year plan.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us about that?
Yeah, we already had sent out a survey last month. We had a tech class helped us out with that. And got all the residents and some township residents surveys to help us craft this master plan, which you're supposed to do on every 5 years. And it's not just a five-year plan, though. It's you look into the future, you know, 25, 30 years. And it's something the village had one in 2008, but it was never formally adopted. And I'm not quite sure exactly when they actually formally adopted their last one. But it's something Scott McGinnis works for the Michigan Municipal League now. He's been helping me a lot with it. And we're taking the steps forward to get one in place. And it just helps protect the village. You know, it gives you a direction where you should be going. And it helps you with facilitate grants and stuff like that. When you have a rec plan, you have this master plan, they see you're on the ball and getting ready to try and move things forward. And we're going to have a open house on Monday, June 13th. It'll be from 4:30 to 6:30 in the village chambers. So anybody that wants to stop by, you're more than welcome. We're going to have some people there. You can, you know, express what you think, what direction you think the village should be going in. And we're there. You can just stop by for 5 minutes, for 10, 15, whatever, express your opinions. And, you know, we're going to gather all this information. Myself will be there, Scott McGinnis. We have Brad Newman from the MSU Extension will be there to help me kind of coordinate this thing, because it's all new to me and I'm just kind of learning as I go. But we appreciate any kind of feedback, you know, from not just from village residents, but from township or anybody else as well. Because the downtown climate's not just for the village residents. It's basically for the whole township, you know. That's where it was designed.
We'll get this information up on KeenanReport.com/community calendar so you can attend the open house, the master plan open house, and get your feedback into that, because I'm sure you'd appreciate hearing what everybody, you know, that's, you know, what this is, you're right, this belongs to everybody. Yeah. And what, you know, what do they want to see you do?
Yeah, I want to hear it all, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly. Let us know. We can't fix it if we don't know what's wrong. I mean, the obvious stuff we do know, but I mean, don't be afraid to come express your opinion. You know, we're trying to do the best we can with the limited amount of money and resources we have, and it's just going to take time. You know, it's just one step at a time and trying to move things forward.
Real quick before we change topics, but do you have an update on the Calumet Police Chief situation?
Right now, Dave Outen, our former chief, resigned, and we have Gene Thornton has been kind enough to step up and be temporary chief. We were looking at contracted with Houghton County, but the council decided we're going to run an ad for a chief and see what we can, who applies. We've got several people interested already, and we're probably going to cut back the police budget a little bit, but we want to put that into the streets. You know, this is the only way we can do it. We're applying for another grant to try and redo Elm Street as well. It's an infrastructure grant that would be focused on sewer and water, but if you're going to do the underneath stuff, you're going to get the surfaces done. There's no guarantee we're going to get it, but we're going to put the application in and give it a shot and see what happens.
All right, well, good luck to that, and good luck with that, and let me know how it works out.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, let's talk about Calumet going forward. And this is kind of opening up for both of you here, is, you know, we're having all of us here anyways that are so tied in with Calumet, and we see, you know, all of the great potential there, and not really, you know, I don't even like using the word potential, because there's plenty of it there already. If you want to shop, if you want to eat, if you want to enjoy nightlife, I said there's very, very few places here in the Keweenaw where you can head out, go shopping, grab dinner, go see a show, and then stick around for the nightlife after. Calumet is one of those very, very few places that you can do that. And we'd love to see more people take advantage of that. So, you know, Leah, with, you know, your dealings with the businesses, and Rob with the village itself, the administrator part, talk about, you know, what Calumet offers to anybody, both tourists and residents, whether they're from here or from away.
Yeah, Calumet really does have a lot to offer. I think we do, and I know we've had conversations like this before about how sometimes people do get a little negative of this is broken down or that's broken down, but there's really, it's a very special place just purely in how it looks. You can't, they don't build a downtown like what we have. But we do have great restaurants. We have an awesome art center that you can go to and learn how to weave a rug, play with clay. They have all kinds of events going on there. We have First Fridays. You can come out and the first Friday of the month, walk up and down Fifth Street, see amazing art. We have so many skilled, talented people in our area. It's unbelievable. And if you walk into some of the galleries, you can't believe these are people that live here and they do all this amazing stuff. It's not just like, oh, a classic oil painting. It might be fiber art. It might be, we have an excellent wood carver, Stuart Baird, who's there. So you can go out and see art. You can go out to eat. You can go out and have a cocktail. We have Calumet Lake Park. You can go play disc golf. You can, I don't know how many places you could play horseshoes if you want to go play horseshoes. There's a lot of stuff to do. You can go to Bucky's, or that's not really what we call it, Calumet Waterworks Park, and go to the lake. There's a lot to do in Calumet, really. And
plus the Sweet Tone Recreation Trails.
And Sweet Tone, how could I forget?
The mountain bike trails, and plus the cross-country skiing they have out there, mm-hmm. and a place for the kids to sled.
Yeah.
Plus you have all the history. You have all the museums, you know. You have the park buildings, and then you have St. Anne's, plus the Fire Museum. And, you know, you can tour the Calumet Theater. And a lot of these are more summertime, but, I mean, you know, there's still opportunities to see some of the stuff even in the winter as well, you know. And I even try and go with the extra effort when people come through and see the theater. I'll open up the council chambers and let them see that and all the old firefighters' trophies in there. And it's just a cool building that we're in there, and it's nice to let people see it. And most people are in awe of it, you know, so it's just nice to show people that have never seen it before.
Right. It's a unique place. It's not a cookie cutter place. Like, if you go to, I mean, I lived in the Twin Cities, loved it there, but, you know, if you go near Green Bay or Minneapolis, every community is your Sam's Club, Applebee, you know. It's more commercial, just kind of the same. And this is not just your average block, concrete block community. It's unique.
Also seem to be sensing a change in the environment or the climate business-wise in Calumet. You know, if you're looking to open up a store or shop or any type of business, and, you know, traditionally you may look for the higher population centers, but there's so much opportunity, I think, in Calumet. And, you know, let's face it, I mean, the stores can open up, you know, in the more populated downtowns, and they still, you know, they still have faced the potential of struggle. Opening up a business anywhere is a risk.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Calumet, of course, it is a risk, but we've seen some really good success stories of late with the Eagle Cafe, Keweenaw Coffee,
yeah.
you know, places that are opening up those little sort of small, you don't want to call them mom and pop places, yeah. but, you know, there's still a community that's hungry for that in Calumet, and they yeah. seem to do fairly well. If you got a good product, good service, it's a, you're going to get enough traffic there to, you know, to give it a good shot.
That's what it comes down to, offering a good product and having good service, and the people will come. If you make that kind of product,
right,
they'll come for it.
Right, and I think Keweenaw Coffee Works is an excellent example of that. They've come in, and they're doing great.
I love when a place like that says, you know, we're just going to do it. You know, yeah. they don't want to listen to anybody telling them it can't be done.
Right.
They're going to put their mind to it, and they're just going to do it. And then they make it happen. And everybody, you know, I mean, that is one of the success stories of the town. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody, let's just pick with that. If somebody is interested in looking at possibly opening up a shop or a business, I got the two best people I would think to talk to yep. here in the room as far as doing that.
Absolutely.
So how would they do that?
They can contact me at my office, and I can, you know, show you what's available. I, you know, and it, I would just kind of show you around, and depending what you're looking for, then, you know, direct you to the people that can help you, be it a realtor or, you know, our DDA owns several properties. Because for me, I just want to connect somebody with the property that best suits their needs. You know, it doesn't matter if it's county owned, DDA owned, you know, privately owned. What I want to see you be successful. What's best suits your needs? Because I want you to have open a successful business and be there long past I'm gone, you know.
And if you're glued to your computer like myself, we can direct you to, you know, the work that Lee has done with the website there for Main Street Calumet, mainstreetcalumet.com?
Correct.
Correct. Okay,
that's
good.
That's it.
Definitely, it's definitely looking good. I know it's a work in progress.
It is, but a work in progress.
You know, you got a, you know, a little bit of a calendar going there. You can find some information. Definitely worth checking out because you can see a lot of the news that's happening and events coming up in Calumet. Rob, Leah, appreciate it. We got to keep doing this. I know I'm looking forward to all the things that Calumet's going to be doing.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you so much for having us.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.